greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And the greatest thing that happened wasn't that the king died. It was that he had a vision of God. We look at some things that are going to be happening in 2020, and we think that those are going to be great things. But the greatest thing that we can have in our vision is the vision of God and what he's doing in our life. Amen? Because vision and life always goes together. Because the Bible says, where there's no vision, come on, I know you know this, where there's no vision, where there is no vision, I think I need to go into prayer this morning. I have a church full of people and I can't hear nobody talking to me. I'm going to ask you all to stand right now. This is the first Sunday of a new year. This is a beginning. This is the first Sunday of a new decade. This is the first Sunday that whatever happened in 2019, you can leave behind on this Sunday. This is a defining moment in your life right now. It can be. It can be a defining moment in your spiritual life. It can be a defining moment in your walk with Christ. Or are you going to stay back in 2019 or are you going to move forward in 2020? That's what I want to know this morning. Am I wasting my breath this morning? Is God wasting his time with you? Come on, somebody. There's people here today that wasn't here yesterday. The Bible tells me things can change in the twinkling of an eye. So each moment by moment that we breathe and that we're here, we need to praise the Lord and serve the Lord. We need to go into some kind of revival here this morning. Too many people are sitting back just going through the motions. I am determined that 2020 will not be a year of this church going through the motions. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. We've been talking about it, but now it's time to do something. And if you're not going to do something, then it's time to move out the way so somebody else can do something. Father God, as I come to you this morning, you have given me the power and the authority and the anointing to lead this church into 2020. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you touch the hearts, the minds, and the souls of your people. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that they realize, Lord, that you have already taken them through the miry clay. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus that they realize that you have brought them from a situation, Lord, and have shown them hope and promises for a new tomorrow. I pray in the name of Jesus that what we do right here is not for today, but it's for eternity's sake. I pray in the name of Jesus that we make our mark worthwhile while we're here. I pray in the name of Jesus that if somebody should die, that I am not trying to preach them into heaven, but Lord, that their name is already written in the book of life, that the work that they have done will speak for them. I pray in the name of Jesus that you touch the hearts and the minds of those that are here right now, that realize that they have sons, they have daughters, they have spouses, they have friends, they have cousins, they have people all around them, Lord, that they are responsible for. I pray in the name of Jesus, just like you, Lord, your prayer is that none should be lost. So, Lord, I ask you right now to lift up our hearts, lift up our eyes, lift us up to see what it is that you will have us to do. So we bless your name this morning. I said we bless your name this morning. We magnify your name this morning. We give you praise this morning. All honor, all glory is for your sake, Lord, not ours. In the precious name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This is a new day. It's time for a new anointing. It's time for new eyes. It's time. It's time. Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise right now. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Oh, hallelujah. You may be seated. Don't you know that your vision determines what you consider as important? Don't you know your vision determines how you're going to do your task? If you can't see what it is that you're doing and how important it is, then your vision is marred. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, with all the things were going around him, he reminded him, the disciples, that I came to do the work that I was sent here to do. There's an urgency that should be in our souls and our spirits today, because things are changing rapidly. And if you don't see it, then you need to ask the Lord to open your eyes. Oh, hallelujah. To open your eyes to see. Stop listening to the news, but listen to the voice, the small voice of the Lord that is speaking to us today. We're bombarded with so much information and misinformation and so much news that we're deterred from what is important in our lives. A war with Iran is not going to get you to heaven. Amen? What Trump is doing is not going to get you to heaven. Amen? What's going to happen in the economy is not going to get you to heaven. Amen? But what's going to get you to heaven is the Word of God. And when you look at the Word of God, it will tell you that these are the signs of the time. These are the signs of the last days. These are the things that you should be looking for. The prophet Michael said it this way, but in the latter days, it shall come to pass. Don't you know that we're in the latter days? In the latter days, all the world and all the turmoil is going to come to pass. But the word of God also says, in the latter days, we will see glory. We will rejoice. We will have peace when everybody else don't have peace. In the latter days, it shall come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. But if you don't know about the latter days and what you should be looking for, you walk into church depressed because you have no hope. You walk in church confused because you don't know the God that you serve. You walk in here with all the sufferings of the world, not knowing that Christ died on the cross. So all of that stuff will not burden you. And I feel this morning that so many people walked in here today as just another Sunday, as just another time to go to church, as just another time to get dressed up, just another time to sing. It's time to worship and praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. It's time to worship and praise the Lord. Listen, if you're not going to clap like you mean it, don't clap. Oh, hallelujah. My text is so good this morning because it speaks to so many of us today. Amen. And it comes from John, the 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Two scriptures, 6 and 7. And I'm going to break it down because there's two different ways I'm going to read it. The NIV said, having said these things, John continued. He spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. King James Version puts it this way. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. I like the new King James Version. The reason why I like it is because it wasn't just that Jesus spat into the dirt and made mud. But when it says that he spat in the ground and made clay, don't you know that clay, you just don't come up with clay. When you want clay, you got to dig. You got to use your shovel. There's a process that you must go through to get clay. But that signifies something with me. That when Jesus Christ wants to do something, the process is already in him. It's already done. So when he spit, the process for that dirt or whatever it was to be clay had already been done. Amen? So when Jesus does something to you, it's not the process that's within him. It's the process that you got to go through. I guess you don't get that one, do you? Let me say that again. When Jesus performs something for you, we got to go through the process because he's already been through all processes. Amen? So whatever's holding you back, it's the process that you must go through. As I said, we got the brakes on when he's trying to bring us uphill. But if you take the brakes off, it's going to be easier getting up that hill. Amen? This man that Jesus healed, he was blind from birth. Amen? And we probably want to know why did Jesus tell this man to go to the pool to wash himself? Amen? We know that Jesus could have just wiped that clay off of his eyes and he would have saw. Amen? But Jesus wanted to use this man for his glory, just like he wants to use us for his glory. Amen? You see, there was a feast going on, the Feast of the Tabernacles that was going on at the time. So when this man had to go to this pool to wash the clay off, that means he's blind. He's bumping into people. People are confused. Why is this man bumping into me? Why is this man looking like he has all of this dust and clay and mud on his face? Where do he think he's going? And they're probably saying that if the man could see, why did he have his eyes covered? Because when you have your eyes covered, you can't see. But here's the thing. He had his eyes covered and he couldn't see. He couldn't see twice. Amen? But Jesus said, go. Now, when Jesus tells us to go, sometimes we put on them brakes again. But this man, by faith, he had a choice. Either he could or he didn't have to. Amen? But when your back is up against the wall, and you have nothing else to lose, you'll go for anything. He heard Jesus says, I came to be the light. He couldn't see him, but he heard him. And he took a chance on this person that he heard. Amen? God sometimes, many times, sends us messages that we hear, but we can't see. That we hear that we can't see. And because we can't see it, we don't accept the word. But this man accepted the word, even through all the hardships that he was going to have to go through. Amen? Now you think it's easy that this man just went through. I'm making a point here because I want to show you where we're at today. This man knew he was blind. This man knew he was going to be bumping into a lot of people. This man knew it was going to be a difficult road he had to travel. Amen. But he didn't care. Now I want to tell you in New York this week. All right. The blind man was getting on the train and he accidentally hit somebody's shoe. Didn't he get beat up? He was just getting on the train, but didn't he get beat up? Because he put his cane on somebody's shoe. So this man had guts. Amen? Because the spirit in that person that beat the man up, that spirit's been here since Jesus' days. Amen? That spirit's been here. So maybe he didn't get beat up, but maybe he got pushed. Maybe he got kicked. Maybe he got spat on. But Jesus told him, go and wash your face. Amen? And there's a bunch of people who already knew who this man was already because he had been blind since birth. He had been standing around with the cup asking for money all his days. That was the only way he could make a living. So those who knew who he was. But he was determined to go. Blind, clay, mud, whatever, and all. Because the master, the voice that he heard, said go. So he goes down and he sticks his whole face in there. Don't you know there's some enthusiasm when God does something for you? Remember when you first got saved. Remember when you first turned your life around. Remember the enthusiasm that you used to have for doing the work of the Lord. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right now. I'm talking to somebody who had that enthusiasm. I'm talking to somebody that had that zeal, that had that newness that only God can give you. This man stuck his face into that pond and he shook it around. And when he came up, he said, I can see. There's a song that talks about when I first saw the light. Can you imagine this man when he first saw the light? Oh, he could see. He didn't care who was around him. He could see. And all the people who knew who he was looked at him. How can this man see? The Pharisees, they said, you know, Jesus ain't the Messiah. He couldn't possibly do this. The man's a devil. Can you imagine them calling the Messiah a devil? The man's a demon. But they knew. See, Jesus did two other miracles before he got to this third one in this chapter. Between John 7 and John 9. Look it up. He did two others that were quote unquote miracles that only the Messiah would be able to do. Amen. So this is the third miracle that Jesus has done. So when he did the third miracle, amen, the Pharisees could not deny who he was. Ain't that great when somebody can't deny who Jesus is? Hallelujah. But that still don't mean that they accept him. There's things going on in your life. Amen. That we cannot deny and the enemy and the devils cannot deny that it must be the Lord doing things in your life. Amen. And they can't deny Christ, but they won't deny Christ. What do? They do like the Pharisees. They attack you. Amen. So they attacked the man. They attacked his family. They went to his mother and his father. They said, is this your child that you said was blind from birth? You said it. Is this the child? They say, yeah, that's our child. He was blind from birth. Now you want to know how he see? Go ask him. He's old enough now. He could speak for himself. Don't you know that we are all old enough now to speak for ourselves. That when God does something in your life, you should be old enough to speak for yourself. Amen? So they wanted to know, you speak for yourself. How did this happen? He said, a man did it. So even though Jesus did this miracle, do you know the man didn't know who Jesus was? Because they kicked him out of the temple. And when Jesus heard that they kicked him out of the temple, he wanted to find them. He said, I heard they kicked you out of the temple. He said, yeah, they did. He said, why did they kick you out of the temple? He said, because I can see. I'm healed. He said, well, who healed you? He said, I don't know. He said, well, I want you to know, fella, the person who healed you is I. I am the Messiah. I am he that did that. Isn't it a reckoning point in your life when you go through something and you still don't believe that it is God that took you through, that he got to smack you and confront you and say, it is I who did this for you? Some of us run around and we want to give credit to the doctor. We want to give credit to the medicines. We want to give credit to everything else that goes on in our lives. But Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Everything but Jesus. But there's no blessing that you have that ain't because of him. There's nothing that you have that's not because of him. I'm speaking to some people today. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm speaking to a whole church today. Jesus is the one that healed this man. The message is that Jesus, the Lord, comes to set prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Don't you know that some of us came in here today bowed down? That's why you couldn't praise the Lord like you wanted to. That's why you couldn't clap your hands like you wanted to. You bowed down with something else but Jesus. But Jesus came to set you free. How could you go in 2020 being bowed down? How could you come into church on the first Sunday of the year bowed down? You have no hope for the future. This is about faith. Faith is about seeing. Not by sight, but knowing that God is going to take you through. Don't you have faith this morning that whatever transpired in 2019 that bowed you down will not happen right now? When things are bothering you, that's when you should open up your mouth even more and worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Your mind is a powerful thing. Because if you believe and have faith that God is going to do something in your life, that he's going to break down chains, that he's going to knock down walls. If you believe it, you can receive it. And if you don't receive it, it's possible because you don't believe it. I'm looking for chains to fall this year. I'm looking for walls to fall this year. And if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. The promises that he gives us are not solely on what your title is or what your responsibility is. His promises are to all of us. Amen. Regardless of what your situation is. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever your mindset is, you understand what I'm saying? But your mindset needs to change. Because this is a time that everything that we do should be set on external purposes, eternity, not this stuff that we're going through. Not if you're sick. Don't you know he can heal that sickness in a twinkling of an eye? If financially you're broke, money will come. He will pour out blessings out of his window in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I worked at a job, and this company that I work for, it never ever went under. But you know what they allowed us to do? They allowed us to have a service every Tuesday in the cafeteria. They did not deny the Lord. Possibly because they didn't deny him, they were blessed. But when you walk around and say that you are a child of the Lord, when you walk around and say that you are a child of the Lord, and we do the things that we do, it's an embarrassment to him. It's an abomination to him. It's a sore sight for his eyes to see us. Amen? I want us in 2020 to walk in their full boldness and the authority in which he has granted us. Amen? Your God is God of everything. Your God is over everything. Can I get somebody to walk for me? Come on, Sister Thickman. I need you to walk for me. Come on, no, I need you to walk. I need you to walk. I need you to walk like you're a child of the God, like you're a child of the Almighty. I want you to walk with the boldness and the authority in which he's granted you. I want you to walk because there's people. There was a young man, 34 years old, ESPN, dead. But God has gifted you with years and years, and he's going to gift you with more and more years because he is your king. When you walk for God, she don't want to walk, that's okay. I'll walk for her. But when you walk with your head up. I'm not looking for dimes and pennies and quarters on the ground. I'm looking ahead because there's a blessing in store for me. I'm looking towards the prize that he has set with my name on it in 2020. You see homeless people, they walk with their head down. They're looking for crumbs. Or they're looking for pennies. They're looking for nickels. They're looking for old cigarette butts. Oh, hallelujah. But my God don't want me looking for cigarette butts. He don't want me looking for pennies. He don't want me looking for nickels. He don't even want me looking for dollars. He wants me looking for blessings. You cannot quantify financially a blessing. You have your health, you are blessed. Hallelujah. You can't put your price on it. There's a rich person out there who can't walk, talk, who has leukemia or whatever it is that can't walk or talk and will give you all of their money if they could just walk or talk. And you know it too because a lot of you work in the hospitals. You see them every day. You go to nursing homes and you see these people. Nursing homes are not for old people no more. Nursing homes are available for everybody eligible. Just like the man's parents says, they are of age. The Bible, the devil looks at you, you of age. You of age. You should know who the Lord is. You should be praising him. You know the things he's done for you. Do you know he's up? He's pining for you. Can I have that one, Lord? That one ain't praising you enough, you know. I don't think that one ever going to learn how to praise you right. I don't think that one is ever going to appreciate the blessings that you've given them. Lord, you took them from the outhouse to the penthouse. And they still won't call your name. Lord, you healed this one out of cancer. This one had cancer, and you healed them. And they still ain't bowing down to you. Let me have them. There's a fight going on for your life. This little stuff that we see down here, you don't know what's going on up there. Because the stuff that's going on is so spiritual. Hallelujah. It ain't physical. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We so busy fighting flesh and blood. Oh, hallelujah. And let me tell you something. We all ain't that far away from fighting flesh and blood. Amen? Let somebody upset you. You ready to fight. You ready to get down. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about from the pulpit to the back door. I'm going to say that again, from the pulpit to the back door. But sometimes you got to get quiet and shut up and let the Lord speak to you and stop talking to people. You know, because they want to tell you. They want to tell you what you should and shouldn't do, what you should allow, what you shouldn't allow. But when you look at the big picture, God set you up maybe to humble you a little bit. Come on, somebody. He sets you up. He lets you keep going on and on and on and on until he pulls your coattail. You know how sometimes you have people, you say, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and they start talking for 10 and 15, and you got to pull their coattail? Sometimes God pulls your coattail and lets you know that it's about him. Oh, hallelujah. And not about you. Come on, somebody. So I'm going to confess. Can I confess? Y'all want to hear my confession? I'm not going to tell you my confession. But I'm going to confess. I studied hard for New Year's Eve nights to preach a sermon. Amen? Come on, Brother Ron, sit over here so I can see you. Come on, sit over here so I can see you. Because God is a good God. I'm going to tell you about God. I stood up here. I sat up there. And I kept watching that clock. God don't care about you. He's no respecter of person. Somebody say amen. And I kept watching that clock. And time went on and on and on. Amen, Brother Ron. Amen. And I kept watching the clock. And I'm going through my notes. Because I believe that the Lord had given me something to preach about on New Year's Eve. Amen. But I kept watching that clock. And when I got to the podium, first of all, he looked at me, and I looked at him. But see, God is a God that wants obedience. Amen. And when I looked at the clock, and he said, we're going to have a word from our bishop. Aren't you ready for the word? I did like this. I'm not fibbing. I'm telling on myself. Confession is good for the soul. And I got up here and I looked at the clock and that clock said 6 minutes to 12. And I mentioned that I got 6 minutes, didn't I? Come on. If you were here, you know. I said I got 6 minutes. But unbeknownst to me, I was so upset I couldn't even talk. Because I worked hard at what I do. Amen. So I said, 6 minutes I got. And if you can give me a couple more minutes, maybe we could be, you know, praying into the new year. But let me tell you what I found out later. When I got up there, it was already past the new year. It was already past the new year. So what did that mean to me? I didn't have no New Year's Eve message, according to the Lord. Amen? He was in control. And you know what he told me? Shut up. Shut up. Be still. Listen to me. Because it's not about you. It's about me. Amen. Sometimes the Lord pull our coattail and tell us, shut up. Sit down. Listen to me. Amen. So what did I learn? There was a lesson in that for me. That sometimes, no matter what your title, no matter what you planned, no matter how long you worked at it, amen, you might not get what you think that you deserve. It's what God gives you. I should have been blessed that I made it past that 2 minutes already. Because there's a lot of people that didn't. My lesson also was to focus on eternal, not the temporal. Amen? So, when the altar was filled with people praying and praising the Lord, that was him. And that's all it should have been about. Him. Sometimes God has to put a little clay over your eyes so you can't see. And he tells you to go down and to wash yourself. I had to wash myself of all the things that I thought. I had to wash myself of ego. I had to wash myself of title. I had to wash myself of what I thought I needed to do. I had to wash myself to let go and let God be in control of each and every situation. So I'm saying to you that when I say that we are fighting flesh and blood from the pulpit all the way to the back door, I want you to know it's true. Because I'm just like you, a sinner saved by grace. Oh, hallelujah. Did I have a message to preach? Yes, I did. But he never told me that every time you're supposed to preach, you're going to preach. He just told me to be ready in season and out of season. There might be another time that he says, preach that message. But you got to hear the voice of the Lord. And sometimes when you're not obedient, puts a little mud, some clay over your eyes until you go wash. Until you go wash. Until you obediently go and wash. Oh, hallelujah. At this time in 2020, some of us are carrying this baggage over from last year. You're carrying baggage over from New Year's night. You're carrying baggage over from the past 10 years. And it's time to wash. Hallelujah. It's time to wash. It's time to go down and stick your face in the pool called scent. It's time to get rid of all of the muck, all of the stuff that's stuck in your eye. Oh, hallelujah. Open your eyes to see. Because when you open your eyes to see, you understand that it's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all about him and not about none of us. Hallelujah. Don't you know that we are clay and he forms us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us he's dug deep into the ground to get us out. Some of us he can take the mallet and hit us a few times and we straighten out. And sometimes he got to keep hitting us and hitting us and hitting us and hitting us. His arm must be tired. And hitting us and hitting us to get us in the right kind of shape that we're usable. Amen. Are you in the shape that he can use you in 2020? Are you in the shape that you can witness to your family and your coworkers and your friends? Are you in the shape that when you respectfully say something to a church member because of your concern and you've been praying for them, are you in the shape that they can look at you and receive it? Are you in that kind of shape? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The worst thing that we could do is have eyes, but we can't see. Hallelujah. Do you have eyes, but you can't see this morning? Hallelujah. I'm wondering, do you have eyes and you can't see? It's time to go wash. It's time to wash. It's time to get out of that old comfortable position that you're in. You understand? We come and we sit in the same old chairs. And we're comfortable where we at. We're comfortable where we at. But let me tell you something. You know what? The Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm not a thief, but I could think like one. I don't want no amens on that one. But I can think like one. You know, when you do the same old thing and you sit the same old place, you come in at the same old time, you leave at the same old time, I can get your routine down pat. And therefore, I can know how to get you. And we come into church. We sit in the same old seats. We come in at the same old time. We leave at the same old time. We arrive home at the same old time. Oh, hallelujah. So you know what? Being that you're comfortable where you sit. You know what? When you come in here and somebody's in your seat, you walk down the aisle and somebody's in your seat. Forget the praise and worship. Forget what the minister of the hour is speaking about. What are you doing in my seat? What are you doing in my seat? So the enemy knows who to put in your seat. You leave home, you go to work at the same old time, you leave the same old way. You know what I mean? There's no lights on in the house. Except that one light you got on in the kitchen. See whether you lock both locks, the top lock or the bottom lock, or both locks. When you lock both, you're going to be going for a while. You lock one, you're going to the store. Be right back. thief knows, he knows that. He's watching you. Amen? So I'm going to say this again. The Bible tells me that he came to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, let's look at those words. When he wants to kill, he wants you dead. When he wants to steal, he wants to steal your joy. When he wants to destroy, he wants to destroy your confidence in who your father is. And you allow it. I just told you how you allow it. I told my neighbor, I said, man, you need to do something different because I know when you're not here. He said, how you know that? Now, mind you, I'm a black man living in a white neighborhood right now. But I told him, I said, I'm not a thief, but I know when you're not there. He said, how you know? I said, because your lights are on all day. Outside. You think thieves just ride around at night? They ride around all day. So you got your lights on all day. They're going to say, ain't nobody home. Because when you're home, those lights are not on. He looked at me. I said, you know, I'm from New York. And I told him. I said, man, why don't you go get you these bulbs? You put them on. It senses darkness. When it gets dark, it comes on. When the light comes, the daylight comes, they go off. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in us. So when darkness comes around, the light will come on. And when the light comes, darkness has to go. You don't have to worry about turning it on and off. It senses things. It's about time that we stop playing church. It's about time that we stop doing church. I felt like this morning we came in to do church. I don't want to do church no more. I don't want to do church no more. So if things look a little different the next time you come here, you just say, oh, pastor, ain't doing church. He ain't doing church no more. Because time is tight. No, time is tight. We keep saying it and we keep saying it. But if you read the word, if you do your research, if you stop just relying on the person here to tell you what time it is. I get annoyed when people say, what time is it? You have the time. I say, it's time to get a watch. You need to stop waiting for the pastor, the minister, the evangelist, the apostle, whoever it is, the disciple, to tell you what time it is. You need to know what time it is. You need to be able to see what time it is. Because when you know what time it is, you'll be able to wipe that same mud and that clay from the people that you care most about, or you say that you care most about. Amen? Because even whether they believe you or not, when God wants to take control of their life, he'll get them. Can't nobody get you like God gets you. Amen? We say, oh, I'm going to get that person. I'm going to knock him upside his head. But when God knocks somebody upside their head, they are knocked out. It is a TKO. Amen? It is a TKO. But when you know the time, and the signs of the time. You have to wipe the clay from your eyes. And the only way you can do that is know who he is. Hallelujah. So when you know, when you truly know what you know, what you know, what you know that you know. I can say that again. Don't you want to have a relationship with somebody like that, that you can say, I know what I know, what I know, that I know, that I know. We get into marriages and we don't know nothing until we get in them and then we find out what we didn't know. Amen. But when you are in with Christ, you can know what you know, what you know, what you know, that you know. Because he has never changed. He has never, ever changed. We changed. we change. He don't change. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never abandon you. He'll never leave you hanging. You'll never get caught out there. How else can I say it? He won't drop you like a dime. Amen? He won't drop you like you hot. He's always there. Always there. You're talking about stability in your life. Always there. You're talking about knowing that whatever it is that you see that you're going through, that behind what you see, there's something spiritually going on in the background that's going to take you through. Amen. We need to take the brakes off the car when God is towing us up that hill right there. We need to let go and let God in 2020. Amen. We need to spread the gospel, evangelize right now like we've never evangelized before in 2020. We need to call on the name of God in 2020 like we've never called on the name of God before. We need to trust in him like we never trusted before. We need to have the faith beyond the mustard seed faith that we have. We read that, oh, we only got to have faith of a mustard seed. So we say we only got to give him a little bit. No, that's not true. That is not true. You read that, then you say, oh, I just got to give him a little bit. He wants it all. He wants it all. Hallelujah. Who's in a relationship that only want a little bit? God wants it all. And until we get off of whatever it is that we're on, because we be on some stuff sometimes, I tell you. I don't know what it is, but we be on us. We be on I, me. We be on that. But when we get off of that, and just give it to him. Hallelujah. Let us stand this morning. Let us stand this morning and just give it.